Hi, and welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman. I'm joined today by Eric and Nathan.
Hello.
Eric and Nathan, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Sure. So I'm Eric Porter, and I'm a PM on the ASP.NET team. I work on ASP.NET web pages and Razor, as well as MVC, and all of our templates and other various things on that team.
Cool.
I'm Nathan. I'm a dev on the Azure UX framework team.
Very important server technologies you guys work on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But Eric and Nathan are here today because in their free time, they build Windows Phone apps. In fact, they built one of the most popular Windows Phone apps, a Twitter client called Browie, which you may have heard of. It's been written about quite a lot. And we want to have them on today to walk through the app with you and talk a little bit about how they built it. Mm-hmm. So can you show us your app here? Is this the...
Sure.
This is the Twitter client signed in with my account.
Yep, this is Roy. So you can see when it was loaded here, we have an indicator to say there's 5 new tweets. If I tap it, I can then just scroll up and see those tweets. You'll see here, in this version, we added inline previews. So you can see that there's an image on this one. I can tap it and take a look. And I'll just show it right here inside the app.
Well, that's nice.
Uh-huh. We worked on performance quite a bit. So you can see here that... the scrolling is much better than it was in previous versions.
But Nathan, you said you're not really doing anything that much special with the list box there.
Not this time around, yeah.
Okay. Do you use the Silverlight toolkit at all?
Yep. Yep. Use the long list selector for it to get all of the templating, but trying to stay out of the way. So the list box perf.
Right.
Does its thing.
Well, we did a lot in Mango to really improve taking composition off the render, off the UI thread, I think.
Yeah, we did a lot of optimizations before in Nodo to sort of push all that stuff back. And
right.
Then when it came to this version, it was just already pushed back for us. So, yep, we have some new stuff in here, like a nice little counter that sort of shows you as you're typing how many tweets you'll have. It'll take into account URLs being shrunk. And
adding the
pictures.
Current location, too.
Yeah, current location.
Now, because you access location, you have to have a privacy policy.
We do, yes.
And how does that show up in your app?
It shows up in the About screen. So if I come back here, go to About and Settings, down here at the bottom, there's a privacy policy.
Got it.
This actually takes you to a page in app, but a page on our site that has our privacy policy. Mm-hmm. And in here, I'll just walk through some things.
Yeah, let's walk through.
Sure.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
That's totally fine. So we integrate with a bunch of services. So you can see here, like, you can pick which photo service you want. We integrate with the official Twitter one and a few others. We have some settings here that we save in isolated storage, I think. So you can pick, like, well, just go ahead and load the tweets. You know, tell me about new stuff, but just go ahead and load them. Always load tweet conversations. So if I go into view a tweet, it will actually just go ahead and load up the entire conversation.
And load new tweets automatically. So you're actually, when the user comes back, they get that notification that there's new tweets, but you don't load them until the person actually clicks on it. Is that trying to be respectful of data usage? Or?
Yeah, so currently the list box doesn't have a way for us to sort of virtualize it in a way that when I throw new stuff in the beginning, it will shift everything down at the moment. So we have some code that sort of tries to figure out what the height will be and whatnot, and then sort of move them back to the right place.
Right, because you're only grabbing a certain number of records at one time to populate the list box, and then you get the rest dynamically as the person scrolls down.
And since Twitter moves so fast, it's sort of just, every time I hit refresh on my timeline, there's probably new stuff. So a lot of people actually go through and read every single tweet on their timeline, so we want to make sure that we don't interrupt their reading experience while they're doing that. So if I go here, you see I changed the setting, and it will look for new stuff.
And so it's loading now, real time.
And so see, it said it, but it actually did already load them. So if I instantly scroll up and I can see other stuff.
Oh, I see.
And you notice here we also have when I scroll up, you can see things are marked as red as I go. So as I scroll up.
Oh, that's the green line.
Yeah, the green line is sort of what's red. You can turn that off if you sort of want to do it manually yourself. Because here we have a new feature, the context menu. So as I tap on one of these tweets, I can see the things I can do about it. I can mark it as unread. I'm like, no, I wasn't done with that one. I want to come back later. Reply, retweet, and I can swipe to the right, and you'll see some other buttons, like seeing their profile or retweeting favorites. And this one has a URL, so I can go straight to the URL by just tapping on go to URL.
It's kind of neat. It's a little Metro-like with the boxes, but I don't know if it's probably...
Yeah,
sanctioned Metro.
No, it's definitely not. We did have the typical context menu with tap and hold.
Okay.
But we actually noticed a lot of apps on other platforms actually have this idea of some sort of contextual menu sort of displayed in a different way.
How are you doing that? Are you using a specific custom control or is it a...
It's the context menu from the Simplify Toolkit, just heavily, heavily
templated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's indicative of the things, the level of control you have in Silverlight to do all of this kind of wild formatting, however you want to do it.
Absolutely. And you kind of see it everywhere throughout the app. So here I can configure my home screen with different things. You have a search on yours for WP Dev. When I tap on one of these,
now,
sort of
feature request here. I know that I have saved searches up on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Should I not be able to maybe get at those here?
Yeah. So
did I hit a raw nerve?
No. But it has been requested quite a bit. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's just been a little bit lower on the list than other stuff. But yeah, for sure, here when you go to add stuff, when you pick Twitter search, we just sort of let you type in what you want. We should sort of show what you have saved. We do show elsewhere those that you have saved. So if I go to here to search, it'll actually come up and show your saved stuff. So as I'm doing a search, I can get that. It's just we don't have it in the configure home screen.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And you can see trending and all the usual stuff.
And this is your search dialog box. So did you mocked out all these screens long before you started working on the app, I imagine. Like, you probably hadn't, or did you do it all real time?
Yeah, we're pretty, I mean, there's only two of us,
right.
So there's not a lot of process. We're just, you know, we get on IM at night and be like, we should add this feature. And then we write it out and we're like, that's good, but no, we need to tweak it some more. We'll send it to people and they'll be
like. Are you guys using source control or something to show
the code
together?
Are. Okay. We use Bitbucket.
Okay.
And we have a Mercurial repository because they have some free ones. We also have some paid repositories as well. Mm-hmm. But just between the two of us, just kind of keep history and stuff like that in a single place. So, yeah.
What are you using any other third-party class libraries besides the toolkit?
We are. If I go to here.
And you'll have listed them off, I imagine.
Yep. Credits. So we use TweetSharp. We've modified it quite a bit as we've gone to sort of fit our needs. Silverlight Toolkit that we talked about and the Coding for Fun Toolkit.
Which controls are you using from them?
Which one is that? Was that for, I think if you go into a tweet.
Yeah, retweet.
Yeah, so if I go here and I say retweet, we pop up this little bottom thing that lets you do a real retweet or a retweet with comment, which sort of just puts it in. You can type in your own stuff.
That's cool. Does it bring up the tweet page?
Yeah, if I do it with comment, it will bring up the tweet page, filled in with the cursor at the beginning, so you can just start typing.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. We also have, this is all stuff that's in most Twitter apps, but if you reply, you'll see here we fill in sort of everyone that's on the tweet, but we select the ones other than the first one. So if I just wanted to reply to that person, I can just start typing. If I want to reply to everybody, I just
tap
here.
How do you control the selection like that?
It's just part of text box. I can just say, set the focus here, and here's the select link.
I see.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else are you guys doing that's really unique to your client?
Well, we have push notifications.
Okay.
I'm not sure I can demo it here, but basically you can pin... if you pin the main tile, you'll see, I could probably have it on my phone, but you'll see how many mentions and how many direct messages you have. And they come in using push, so we have our own backend service that is currently just pulling every Twitter account that has signed up for it.
Okay.
To say, are there new mentions and messages? Yes, there are. If there are, we send, we have this service that generates an image for the tile with the correct numbers on it.
Oh, wow. So you're creating that iconic look, the big, because obviously we don't provide you a programmatic way to access that in the...
Right. Yeah, exactly. So we just use an image and we get rid of all the text that's on it.
You create the image on the server or...
We do, using something that I work on, Razor. So on the back end, we're using that and it's just, it was like, 10, 15 lines of code or something. And then that just generates and saves a bunch of images on our server. And we link to it in the XML payload that we send to the push notification service. And then it will show up. And we also do toast as well. It's actually a setting, so you can decide what you want it to do. Here you can see that you can pick toast or the live tile for messages or mentions. We also have our service looking at our backend service to see whether it's up or down at the moment. If we have to take it down for maintenance or there's an issue, it will show... a red line here and say, like, Houston, we have a problem or something like that.
It doesn't check if I've appropriately registered as a client for push notifications, though, does it?
If you see this screen, you are properly registered.
Okay.
Basically, the way it works is every time the app starts, we ask the push notification service, the app does, for the channel that it should communicate on. And then that channel gets sent to our service where we store it to actually send notifications to your phone.
Do you use background agents at all?
We do not. We started to work on it. Mm-hmm. We had some issues sort of making it work with the right amount of memory and time constraints.
Right.
So we have all that code. We just haven't shipped it yet because we weren't. It didn't seem solid at the moment. We may ship that in the future, but like just last night, we were testing the 256 megabyte, like
the new emulator.
Yeah, the new one, just to see if our memory footprint was low enough, and it is. So we'll be fine to ship our next version with that. But like that one doesn't do background services.
Right.
So.
No background. Well, yeah. It just doesn't do generic background agents. It does support background transfer and background audio.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So. It's pretty interesting. That's great. It's another thing that you should remember because 256 memory devices we anticipate are going to have a very large footprint, particularly in new emerging markets like China.
Yep, definitely.
It's a pretty nice device, the Lumia 610, if you haven't seen it.
It's very nice.
It's pretty amazing what they've done in terms of optimizing the operating system.
Yeah, definitely. And we've actually made sure to do less in our app so that, you know, it just so happens that we're not going to have to do any work to make that work because we had already sort of tried to keep our memory footprint low. Because even on these devices, it's good to, you know, keep it low. You don't want to use battery and memory and stuff like that.
Because that impacts your overall performance.
Exactly.
So, but what sorts of things are you doing there? I mean, just so folks know, what kind of practices are you taking to make sure that you... Do you check memory periodically as you build the app? Do you do any sort of...
I wouldn't say once every release, but we've done it a few times now where we just go in and check.
Are you using Profiler at all? Or?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything in particular you'd say about the Profiler in terms of how you use it? I know some people find it a little mind-boggling.
He's the brains.
Yeah.
Nope.
No. Just looking
just
at the memory.
Just browsing through it. Yeah.
Mostly.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. We don't do anything hardcore really. It's just like we built this app sort of because we didn't like what was available at the time, the official Twitter app, and so we just try to make it for us with users' feedback. So as we go through. You know, we just try to keep it simple for everywhere we go, including memory, including everything. Just keep it as simple as possible, and the app should run well all the time.
Cool, that's awesome. Any other things that you, insights that you've had, like building the app, just around, like, things that you've done differently, problems that you had? I know that, as have many people, that there's been some challenges with regard to the submission process.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, this time around, it's kind of ironic. This time around, we have had quite a few troubles. And it turns out it was because we did things wrong in the App Hub, but it was mostly because we didn't understand how it worked. Like,
you do wrong?
We tried a few different things. We wanted to do a timed release because we had some bloggers and stuff lined up to talk about it. And we basically... I tried some new, like, the publish and hide option, and then we edited the catalog to change the price and the description after the fact. So we had done the submission ahead of time, been approved, and then we wanted to go ahead and change that stuff, but because that goes through a whole process, we didn't really understand how it worked, and then somehow it messed up the whole marketplace so that sometimes it shows up and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. You know,
sure.
As much as I'd rather not talk about the problems that we have, it's part of our policy to try to be open and transparent. I mean, we want people to know, you know, we're human too, and marketplace is a pretty complicated process when you think about paying taxes in all the different countries that we're shipping in, paying developers out and money in different countries and so forth.
Definitely. We've been working with the marketplace since, and they've helped us resolve it, I think, a couple days ago, but the changes still haven't pushed through, so it will all get fixed. It's just we had some issues.
Yeah. You mentioned working with bloggers, though. I mean, so what sorts of things do you do to promote your app?
Yeah, so we sort of just try to build relationships like most you know, other businesses would do.
Do you do a trial mode on your app?
Yeah. Our trial mode is interesting. This is maybe in the complaint category, I guess.
Please.
So we have our free version, and then we have our paid version with a trial. The trial is basically the same as the free version.
Okay.
So this sort of splits our, you know, you have two separate things that people rate on and stuff like that, which is not very good. But the reason we did that is to show up in the free category.
Right.
Because the paid stuff doesn't show up there, and a lot more people are looking for free apps. And our app is basically free. The only thing you're paying for is to get rid of a couple ads and get push notifications. Otherwise, the feature set is exactly the same between them. So we have sort of two separate versions to sort of get around that.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people do that, and we've heard that feedback before. And you know, it's something we're certainly looking at figuring out how to better do.
Yeah, and other than that, we have a website that we built. We have Twitter account that we talk with our customers quite a bit for. We have a user voice page to let them vote on things. We actually, this time around, I think, so over the last year, we've accepted and added, I think, around 44, 45 suggestions from users. So we're sort of building what we want, but at the same time, we want to make sure we build
and
what other
people
would want. And
you have send feedback in your...
We actually have links to all that stuff. We have a Facebook page as well that you can like. If I come in here, you can see, swipe over to here on feedback. Here you can send us an email or a tweet.
Okay.
Also, we're doing error logging here, so if there were errors, it would show up as, I think, the first sentence, and you can either view the error or email it to us,
okay,
which is very nice. Just keeping it super simple.
In your error handling in general, do you provide that sort of option, like when a dialogue will throw an error?
We just sort of show the error right now and say, hey, you can send it to us. We don't actually link them to here yet, if they, we sort of, it's kind of a, we don't want every single error to come to us, because
right,
a lot of them are duplicates. We sort of want the people that care the most to send them. So if they come in here, they can just hit the email button and mail it to us.
Right, and then the email or tweet. So you must have set up a special email for this. And
Right. Yep.
Don't have that all going to you.
Yep.
And you've used a lot of that feedback in improving your app.
Absolutely.
Like, what sorts of things did you do in response to feedback?
Let me bring it up.
I don't
remember.
And you're using user voice here.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Okay.
And we go through and we look at each idea to see. You can see we've gone through and fixed a bunch. So now our top ones are like showing the total unread count on the live tiles, the top one.
It's pretty cool how you've integrated it directly into your application.
Yeah. They actually have an API, and we could go even further and actually have it be part of the app, but we haven't done that yet. This is sort of just a in-app web browser. And even here, people can see, I think if they look at, they can go to completed. Yeah, we've completed 44 items.
You so can it can see, show how you guys are really responding.
Yeah, you can see the now playing
the
button
now
that
playing
we just
button.
Talked about.
Right. I don't think we talked about it on screen, though, actually.
Maybe we should.
Upload photos from native photo context menu.
Yep, that's something we had previously in Nodo, but it was changed in Mango. So
yes, new photo.
So now that this is our first Mango update, we do have that in there.
Oh, that's great.
As well, marking stuff
and
is red.
And fast app switching, I imagine, too.
So. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was one of the first things we did, yeah, because we definitely had to have that one. Yep, lots of stuff.
It's a fantastic feature that makes a huge difference in the perception of your app. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's up to each and every app developer whether or not they implement it based on what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
We had been telling people so strongly before about tombstoning that everyone was doing this heavy-duty tombstoning process, and in fact, you now need to conditionally do it based on whether or not you're coming back from the appropriate event.
Yes, absolutely. And we always had tombstoning working really well, and we always had the fact that you could come back anywhere into the app, and it would work the history correctly, which is nice because I think the 256 meg devices does it do fast app switching?
Yes, it does.
It does, okay.
It does, it just has a lower threshold.
Gotcha, yeah. And so even on these devices, if I leave it for a long time, I'm sort of locked on my app, I lock the screen, come back, it will tombstone and then come back. So we already have that in there. Just fast app switching makes it easier now to sort of get back to the app.
So the photo integration, if you could talk about that for a minute. That's basically if I go into the photo, it's a context menu that you've done.
Yes. Can I do that on
your phone? Please. Go right ahead. I don't know if there's any pictures on here except the default ones.
Default ones are fine. Let's see.
Nothing in the camera.
Albums. There we go. So I go into a picture. Should show up here. I believe it's in share.
Okay.
Rowy.
There you go. So you plugged into the share menu instead of the context menu on the picture itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And this is probably appropriate because we're not, and there you can see it's sort
the
of getting
ready and
just start typing.
Yeah.
And then tweet it.
That's great.
Yep.
Cool.
Makes
so you've built something that's really comprehensive around the scenario. It's like you've fleshed out almost everything somebody might want to do around tweeting.
Yeah. We don't add any features unless it really fits into a scenario that covers, you know, the 80% of people that would use it.
And are you doing a lot of monitoring on how people are using your app? Because they are all connecting to your server application. I imagine you get an opportunity to actually track and monitor you know, analyze the behavior.
Yeah, we do have our own analytics service. At the moment, we're not tracking a whole lot. We definitely do need to track more of that stuff.
You're doing it yourself? You're not doing it with a third-party analytics? Or?
Yeah, we built our own. Maybe a mistake, maybe not. There's a lot of people that use various analytics services that already exist.
Sure.
And sort of for websites and stuff and use them to keep track of stuff. But we wanted it to be completely custom, completely optimized for the wire and stuff like that. We want to make sure that it's exactly only the data we need to send, and we wanted to decide sort of how to send it. So we like keep track sort of just every time they launch, every time they rate, and a few other mm-hmm. things. And then we keep sort of like a little mini log, and up to, I think, every 15 minutes we'll send that, or maybe an hour or something like that, and we'll send it out to our service just to log it.
That's great.
It's 100% anonymous, but we can tell how many devices have sent stuff, just not, okay. you know.
And you have this in your about screen yep. about how yep. you're doing
it. It's part of the privacy policy
right.
as well.
Right, yep. exactly.
Yep.
Any other features that you have that are unique or special that you want to show that we haven't looked at?
We've
looked at a lot of features, so
let me see.
Just wanted to give you one more opportunity.
Yes, let me see. I don't know. Yeah, there's nothing at the moment. So if I go into, I don't know if there's any music on here.
That one there may not be. Any
that's
music
fine.
On.
Basically, I'll just show it. If you are tweeting, you can go into Add Now Playing.
Okay.
And that will take whatever Zune is currently playing and put the song name and the artist in here.
That's great.
And I can also pin it as well. So if I want to share what I'm listening to a lot, I can just tap this and this will take me straight in. And if I were listening to a song, it would just put it in for me. I can hit send.
That's pretty cool what you've got with the splash screen too, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were like, so we want to support both themes, but we're like, with a static, the best way to do it, the performance-wise, was a static start screen. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, maybe we could fade it either way. So like, since we have it sort of black on white, or mm-hmm. white on black, I forget which one it is, we just sort of do an animation as soon as it's ready to mm-hmm. sort of fade it to
go through both.
Yeah, because we support both light and dark themes, so we needed to make it work both ways.
Cool. At start screen gets you a lot of things. I mean, first of all, in terms of perceived performance, people see a splash screen. It's very important to customize your splash screen. I think that's one of the first things we look at.
Yep.
That you can tell right away if an application has some thought behind it is whether or not it has the default splash screen in it.
Yeah, in fact, if you've never used the app before, it'll fade, and then it does like a silly little animation where
I saw
it drops
that.
The bird down and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty...
yeah, we make sure the first impression is like, okay, they spent some time on this. I should continue to look at it.
You definitely thought through a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I think that's why your application is as successful as it is, just thinking through all these things like that. Mm-hmm. So if you had anything, advice that you would give to people out there who are just starting developing for Windows Phone, I mean, what are some of the things that you might suggest? Keeping it simple seems to be one of the themes that you hit.
Yeah, for us for sure, the less you do, the better it's going to perform.
Understand the use cases, what people are trying to do with this application. Because you've gone through almost like every way that somebody might tweet. Mm-hmm. You guys obviously use Twitter quite a lot. Because
we both use Twitter a lot.
Yeah. We'll put your handles on the page and then people will be able to message you on Twitter if they want.
Sounds good.
If they want advice. So that's just great. I mean, we're very excited to have folks like you, and it's amazing. It's we've changed the moonlighting policy at Microsoft to just empower people to do this, because we know we have some of the best developers here at this company. We should at least enable them to write.
That was one of the reasons we jumped into it. We saw the change, and we were like, well, we should just do this. We absolutely should build it, and we can own it ourselves, and it's fantastic.
But we're really focused on enabling all developers to write for our platform. And we hope that you got a lot out of this today. And we'll see you again next time on Inside Windows Phone.
Cool. Thanks.